Okay, we have a very juicy parsha again. I know it's been a little while since we learned together last. And I wanted to pick a mitzvah in this week's parsha that we're all very familiar with, and we spend a lot of time, in theory, involved with this mitzvah. But it's a very unique mitzvah, if you stop and think about it. It's the only mitzvah de'oraisa. It's the only bracha de'oraisa l'kuli alma. It's the only bracha that is for sure biblically mandated according to everyone. Most brachas are the Rabbanan. Birchas HaTorah is a machlokas if it's the Reis or the Rabbanan. But the only bracha that everyone agrees is for sure a mitzvah de araisa is found in the Torah itself, is the mitzvah and the bracha of benching, of Birchas HaMazon. I can tell you, it's chata'ayini mazkir hayom, I'm not a great bencher, I'm not a great davener. And I wanna try to understand a little bit about the nature of the mitzvah, how the mitzvah came to be, other than the pasuk, obviously, and then to try to use that as a springboard to bench better. When you understand the mitzvah, when you spend time learning about a mitzvah, hopefully it motivates you to want to do a better job at that mitzvah. You understand the chashivas of that mitzvah. So again, the pasuk is very familiar to us. In source number one, pasuk in this week's parsha, v'achalta v'savatu v'erachta s'Hashem lokecha la'aretz ha'tova asher nasan lach. I want to start by actually using the pasuk to thank Yitzi and Tari for opening their home for the chabura throughout the summer. The Avud Raham says, "Va'achalta v'savata v'irachta es Hashem lokecha." Whenever you have the word "es," it always comes to include something else. So the Avud Raham says, "What's the es? Who else are you blessing besides Hashem?" So the Avud Raham says, "It comes to teach you that you should bless the Baal Bayis. That when you bench, you insert into the benching. We thank the one who." Was gracious enough to invite us to his table and to his home. So on that note, before we get to thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu, we thank Yitzi and Terry for their generosity, and we hope that this bracha, which is a bracha again, d'araisa es Hashem lokecha, to bless along with Hashem, we hope that bracha will be found in your home. Amen. So this is the pasuk v'achalta v'sevata uverachta. You should eat, and you'll be satiated. And you'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that context, Ala Aretz HaTov Asher Nasan Lach, you'll thank Hashem for the land that He gave you. I saw the Yaivitz writes that Birchas HaMazon, the different mitzvahs have different mazel. Some mitzvahs the Jewish people take very seriously, even if they're seemingly more minor mitzvahs. And he says, for example, you have Purim. Purim, even though it's Derabbanan, Purim is certainly very high on the list in the minds of Klal Yisrael. People find all sorts of creative ways to make sure that they're mekayim the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, which is a lovely mitzvah, a beautiful mitzvah. And there's all sorts of fascinating questions that revolve around it. You know, exactly what is the nature of the mitzvah? What's the optimal way to do the mitzvah? Is it better to give it with a shliach? Is it better to give it two items in one container? Or is that a problem when they're bound together in one container? It's considered one item, a food item, a drink item, right? All sorts of questions. And some people give many times over, in order to mekayim all the different shitos. There is such a notion in halacha, the Mishnah Berura, Rav Shechter often says, made popular, to try to mekayim all the different shitos, to try to cover all your bases. That's a mitzvah derabbanan. Again, it's a beautiful mitzvah. Right? But for whatever reason, Purim has a good mazel. Basar b'chalav. Right? Milk and meat. Jews are very careful about that. Chametz on Pesach. Jews are very careful about that. There's other mitzvahs that are da'arais, and for whatever reason, the Jewish people became very lax about it. One of those mitzvahs, says Rav Yaakov Emden, says the Yaivitz, is the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. For some reason, we don't stop to think about the fact that it's a mitzvah de'araisa. It's the only bracha de'araisa that everyone would agree on. It's a bracha that we recite that is biblically ordained. That's a unique thing. And therefore, again, as we learn about the mitzvah, it should inspire us to want to take the mitzvah more seriously. What's more serious, benching or Shmon Esrei? The Maggid of Mezrich said, yeah, how could we not put time into benching? Hopefully a Jew is working on the Shmon Esrei. We feel that that's the ultimate encounter with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Amidah, and you're standing after working your way through Pesukei Dezimra, and you're trying to get yourself ready in Kabbalah, Somach HaShemayim. Now you're finally standing, and the Sfarim say this, and the Arizal, the Shem Yishmul discusses this, that we say Shmon Esrei in a whisper, like the intimate whispers between a husband and wife that takes place behind closed doors. So he's, Shmon Esrei, it's Kabbalah. So many brachos, right? And yet the Maggid of Mezrich pointed out that Shmon Esrei is the Rabbanon compared to Birchas HaMazon, which is the Araisa. Right? So we have to take that seriously. I'm not the type to usually quote Maamar Makomos that are of the more frightful type. I feel that our generation is more inclined as an atiyah towards Ahava, that we spoke about in the Shul Parshas Devarim a couple of weeks ago at David Markowitz Siyum on that Shiran Tochacha. But at the same time, once in a while, we need to remind ourselves of the severity of something. So let's learn together. Take a look at source number two for a moment, the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, in Siman Mem Vav, writes the following. And it's a little bit scary. Once upon a time, there was a person who died before his time. Again, what does that mean, to die before your time? Okay, I guess it was a tragic patira, and everyone said he was too young. So many years after the 12 months, meaning we normally assume that a person goes to Gehenna, Mishpat Rishon to Gehenna, the Medrash says, it's for 12 months. We say Kaddish for 11 months because we don't want to suggest that anyone needs a full 12 months to pay their debts. So now this was many years later, presumably this person had you know, paid the price, and was now sitting in a good place on high. Sha'Allah, oh sorry, so Nisgal b'chalom l'echad mikrovav. He returned in a dream to one of his relatives. Again, different shitas about how dreams work, but let's assume this was a real dream. He truly appeared to one of his relatives in a dream. Sha'alo, eich atanoi ba'olam sha'ata sham. How are things in the world in which you find yourself? What's doing over there? Amarlo, he said to him, where it's bolded, b'chol yom danamosi. Every day I'm held accountable, I'm judged, al shalo ayisi medaktik levarich birchas hamotzi, ubirchas haperos, ubirchas hamazon, bekavanas halev. I'm held accountable, I'm judged on a daily basis for failing to recite Hamotzi, to make a bracha on Peros, to bench properly with Kavanas Halev, va'omrimli, and every time they punish me, this is years after he's passed away, they say to me, La'anoscha niskavanta. You only had in mind your own pleasure. Right? Meaning you were eating the food, you were so eager to eat the food that you didn't bother to make a proper bracha. So his relative asked him in the dream, the one who's having this dream, says to him, but you passed away so many years ago, I thought a person only goes to Gehenna for 12 months. So he said, it's true. He said, 12 months is the ikur, is the primary time that a person is judged, is the primary time that a person is punished. That's when the heaviest penalties are handed out. But at the end of the day, your eternity, your olam haba, right, is a reflection of the life that you lived. And therefore, in a certain sense, whatever you did in this world follows you forever. So he says, it's true, I'm not being fully punished on a daily basis. That much of the penalty is over after 12 months. But he says, yes, I'm still being held accountable. He says in the last line, Amarlei, ein danu l'si paranios chazakim kamo b'shnei masar rishonim. They're not punishing me as severely as the first 12 months, but I'm still being held accountable on a daily basis. My soul is forever grappling with that failure of not reciting brachos properly. And again, it doesn't necessarily take a long time. The difference between a benching with a little bit of kavana and a benching with no kavana, right, we're talking about not a lot of time. All the more so for a birchas hamotzi or a birchas haperos. And take the extra second to recognize what it is that we're doing when we think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really not a major undertaking. And therefore, yes, a Jew who doesn't have that basic level of akaras hatov for the food that sustains us, we feel it very quickly on a fast day, just how frail we are. That's part of what we're trying to do, awaken those feelings of tshuva by refraining from eating and recognizing our own frailty. So how can we not pause, right, to remind ourselves that it's all from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Yeah?
I was going to ask, is this like a source then that can like prove that maybe when we don't do mitzvahs to the fullest advantage, you get some sort of punishment?
Right, so failure to do a mitzvah.
Even though it's not like the severe.
Right, I mean, he did the mitzvah. It's not like they told him, you never bench, and you never made a motzi, and you never made bracha rishon, and you never made bracha achrona. He did. He just didn't do it to the best of his ability. Yeah, Rav Tzadok has a piece at the beginning of Tzidkas HaTzadik. We'll see a piece from Rav Tzadok later tonight, where he says that failure, he proves it from Chazal at the beginning of Brachos, that failure to do a mitzvah is sometimes, in a certain sense, even worse than an avera. Again, you have competing principles. I say dochalos. I say there's a lot of different principles in assessing the value of a mitzvah or an avera or a lost opportunity, right, versus actively doing something negative. Right, Baal Tanya talks about it in the Igaras HaTshuva. But there is a certain truth to failing to do a mitzvah in the optimal fashion is in itself an avera and deserves some type of punishment. That's sort of what you see from this source. Yeah. Okay. So v'achalta v'savata v'irachta, I think we would all agree, is the source for benching. Now, I want to point out two things before we, again, get into what exactly does that pasuk expect of us. First of all, I want to show you very interestingly that the Baal HaTurim sees within those very same words a hint to Bracha Rishona. How do you see a hint of Bracha Rishona in V'achalta V'savata V'rachta? Look what the Baal HaTurim writes on the Pasuk. It's fascinating. V'achalta V'savata V'rachta Hainu B'racha Samazon. That's how Chazal, in source number 3. That's how Chazal understand these words. You eat, and you're satiated, and you bench. V'chein nam yitzarech levarech lefanav. Now the Gemara derives it from a Kal V'chomer, how you know to make a bracha beforehand. Right? But the Baal HaTurim says, I think I can show you a hint in these words. How so? Perish v'achalta v'savata uverachta kvar. You ate and you enjoyed uverachta, and you had previously blessed. So after you had blessed, then you ate and you enjoyed. That's how he then hafachol flips the pasuk that I said. Okay. Sha'asa la'adam le'enos ben olam haza b'lo bracha. Shenamar la'ashem ha'aretz imloa. Right? The world belongs to Hashem, and after you make a bracha, then ha'aretz lasan livnei adam. So again, it's a good question of, you know, Pasha Pshad and the Pasuk seems to be more the way that we read it. The Ramban points out that it's interesting that it's seemingly in Lashon Avar, right? Achalta, Savata, Virachta, which leads to the question, is this a mitzvah? This is just it's a haftacha, it's a statement of fact. Right? What exactly is found in these words? But let's come back to the Pasha Pshad. Baal HaTurim is interesting. Let's come back to the Pasha Pshad. The Pasha Pshad is Achalta, Savata, after you ate and after you enjoyed, Uverachta, not that you did bench, but you should bench. That you should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the kindness that He has bestowed upon you. Okay? So I wanted to show you one more pasuk. A pasuk in Sefer Yoel. And I was thinking about this pasuk. I really, the truth is, again, we daven too fast, we bench too fast. I had already last Shabbos thought that maybe this week's Chabur would be on the topic of benching. So Motzei Shabbos, as I was reciting V'yitin Lecha, I paid attention to a pasuk that I've said many times, that I never really noticed before, and it dawned upon me how similar this pasuk is to the pasuk in our parsha about benching. It's a pasuk in the Navi Yoel, in Treyasar. Treyasar starts with Hoshea and then Yoel. Yoel is a very small sefer, 4 prakim. It recounts a terrible plague of locusts, like nothing that had ever been seen before. And at the end of this plague of locusts, this description of the famine and the starvation, and how the locusts, different types of locusts are going to come, and they're going to, what was finished off by one, what wasn't finished off by one, will be finished off by the next group. A terrible, terrible chorban in terms of the crops and the produce. It says, the Kohanim are going to daven, everyone's going to cry out. And then Hashem is saying, and then the nations are going to say, has God forgotten the Jewish people? And Hashem is then going to show, no, I haven't forgotten you. And all of a sudden, the crops are going to return. Your granaries will be filled, and you'll eat, and you'll enjoy, and you'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's just interesting that this pasuk in Yoel is very, very similar to our pasuk. Right? The pasuk in our parsha. Take a look at source number 4. Pasuk in Yoel says, V'achaltem achol v'savara, v'halaltem eshem Hashem elokeichem. Now, why am I... Okay. So first of all, I'm just noticing this pasuk for the first time that I've been saying in V'yitin Lecha. It's an interesting pasuk. Again, a pasuk of V'achaltem v'savata uberachta in a certain sense. But I think you can almost create a parallel between these two. Meaning the same way that here it's describing Jews who had just experienced such horrible famine, such devastation of their crops, and they're told that when you get back your food, you should eat it, and you should enjoy it, and you should thank Hashem for it. So maybe every time, v'achalta v'savata v'rachta, every time we enjoy food, when we're not starving, when it's not the last bit of flour in the jar or in the bag, or it's not the last item out of the refrigerator, baruch Hashem. But at the same time, we should connect these two psukim and remind ourselves the same way that they were told that when you eat it, when you enjoy, after all of the difficulty that you've endured, you can imagine what that vihilaltem, there was a hillel, mamash a halal, praising Hashem, singing and dancing. So in a certain sense, every time a Jew enjoys this world, we should feel that deep sense of a karas letov, to a karas baruch. And you'll think of that, again, as hopefully you recite the brachos that we say in Motzei Shabbos, as we enter into the new week in V'yitin Lecha, you'll try to catch this pasuk in Yoel Perek Beis this week. V'chaltem achol v'savoa v'halaltem eshem Hashem alokecha. Okay, so now let's get really to our topic. Birchas Hamazon is da'araisa. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah da'araisa. It's a bracha da'araisa. Again, it's unique in that way. What exactly does the Torah want us to do? I'm in a big rush. Thank you, Hashem. Meal was great. I know it's you. It's true. I paid for it on my credit card. I bought the food with, my hard-earned money. But I know it's all you, so thank you very much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. English, Lashon HaKodesh, has to be a certain formulation. And again, what's the nature of this bracha? Uberachta. Say thank you. bracha, one bracha, two brachas, three brachas, four brachas. We say four brachas, and a bunch of harachamans after. So what's the nature of this bracha? Who wrote? Let me ask you like this: who wrote our benching? When I open up a siddur, a bencher, right, whose words am I looking at? So the Gemara tells us it was actually something that evolved over time, which is a fascinating idea. That you have a mitzvah in the Torah, right, that evolves and takes form over time. So let's take a look. The Gemara in Brachos Memchesa Mebe says the following: Amar of Nachman, Moshe tikein li Yisrael birchas hazan b'shash yard lehem man. When the man came down, Moshe says, wrote the bracha, the first bracha of benching, birchas hazan, which is very interesting. Right? What bracha did they make on the man? Did you make a bracha on the man? Did you make a bracha rishon on the man? What bracha rishon did you say on the man? Shahakom. Did it depend on what your kavana was? If you're mechavin for steaks, you make shahakom. If you're mechavin for an apple, you make eitz. Right? What bracha did you make on the man? So some acharonim said the bracha on the man is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Hashamayim. Hamotzi Lechem Min Hashamayim. Lechem Min Hashamayim. Benching requires to bench, you have to have lechem. So we have to say that the man has the status of lechem, but it's not lechem in haaretz, it's lechem in hashamayim. Right, different opinions what bracha, if any bracha, was recited on the man. Yeah, Rizal explains that the very nature of a bracha is to extract the holy sparks from the klipa. When I eat food, there's parts that will benefit my body, and there's a psoles, there's a part that will be removed, right? The refuse and the waste matter will be removed by the body. The man, when the Jews ate the man, the Gemara says it was lechem avirim. It was the food of angels, but it also meant that food that was absorbed in the evarim, which meant that a person did not use the restroom when they ate the man. All of that which you consumed was perfectly absorbed into the body. So it could be they don't have to make a bracha. The whole reason you make a bracha, the Arizal explains, is to be able to acknowledge that there's parts of the food that are going to sustain me. There are parts of the food that are bad for my body, and I want the body to remove them. Right? That's true in a physical sense and in a spiritual sense. The man was perfect in terms of its ruchnias and in terms of its gashmias. And therefore it could be the man doesn't require a bracha, a brachat mevarer between tovera. It's all rooted in the chere tzadas and eating from that tree and whether or not they made a bracha on the tree. There's a lot there. The Bnei Yisachar talks about it, and again, it's all based on the writings of the Arizal. But again, Moshe Rabbeinu created the first bracha of what we call our benching when the Jews were eating the man. Yoshua tikin lem birchas ha'aretz kevin shenichlasu la'aretz. When the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, then they added the next component. David Shlomo tiknu bonei Yushalayim. David added the part al Yisrael amecha val Yushalayim yirecha. And Shlomo added the part when he built the Beis HaMikdash al abayis ha'gadol v'kadosh. So again, you see the brachos evolving over time. What about Hatov v'hameitiv, what we call our fourth bracha? Hatov v'hameitiv b'yavna tiknua. Hatov v'hameitiv was instituted in Yavna. Why? Hatov v'hameitiv, thank you so much, Hashem. For what? Something that we just celebrated very recently. One of the greatest Yom Tovim, Yom Kippur, and Tu B'Av. What happened on Tu B'Av? It's a celebration of six things. The fifth one is, thank you so much. Wow, what a great Yom Tov, Tu B'Av. It was the day that what? That when the city of Beitar was completely decimated, and the bodies were left lying out in the field, in the hot sun, for years. I think the Rishonim say 7 years. The bodies were out in the field. The bodies didn't rot, and eventually the bodies were allowed to be buried. When were the bodies allowed to be buried? On Tu B'Av. And when the Chazal saw that great miracle, that even in the Chorban there was still a kavod, a certain decency and dignity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected, even by the dead bodies of the Jews of Beitar, that last stronghold. So the Gemara says, Keneged Harugei Beitar, was instituted Keneged Harugei Beitar. The Amr of Masna, Osva Yom Sheninu Harugei Beitar Lekvura, on the day the Jews of Beitar were finally allowed to be buried, Tiknu B'Yavna Hatova Meitiv. Sanhedrin HaGadol, which was in Yavna at the time, established this bracha of Hatova Meitiv. Hatov Shelo Hisrichu, thank you Hashem that their bodies didn't rot, lying out in the sun for years. V'Hameitiv Sheninu Lekvura. And thank you even more so, Hashem, that they were given a proper Jewish burial. Again, it highlights the significance of the importance of having a kosher, proper Torah dika burial. Okay? So what you see clearly is that V'achalta V'savata V'rachta, as the Torah envisioned it, right, didn't exist at some point, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, and then Yoshua added to it, and then David and Shlomo added to it, and then the Sanhedrin and Yavna concluded it. So when the Torah says Vachalta v'savata v'rachta, does that mean I have when Moshe added this? Is that how we define the Da'araisa now? Is the mitzvah Da'araisa the brachos that Moshe and Yoshua and David and Shlomo established? Is that the fulfillment of, let's say I want to make up my own benching. Can I fulfill the mitzvah da'araisa of achalta v'zavata rachta if I make my own nusach? Yeah, what do you want to say?
So one could say just like the Shekinesis HaGadola established the Matbea for Shmona Esrei, whereas perhaps before Moshe Rabbeinu and all the others, that it was more free form and they established the Matbea.
Okay, so you want to say that there is such a thing? There's a mitzvah da'araisa that has initially Hashem gave it without a tzura, and for whatever reason, as time went on, different tzaddikim, different leaders, different people of authority gave it more of a kvias. Am I bound by that kvias?
What?
Am I bound by, can I do my own benching today? Can I do my own shmona esrei today?
Could it have evolved based on what Klal Yisrael went through and needs and tzaras and things that happened, so therefore what was, you know, satisfied Klal Yisrael 4,000 years ago, or something, you know, that evolved, and therefore that same mitzvah needs more to accomplish the same thing.
Okay. But we all understand that we're touching on a delicate point here, right? Because I've said like a few times, like using the word mitzvah evolving, which is, you know, in the wrong way, that's a very dangerous term. It's a very dangerous term. But again, I think we're correct in thinking that, yes, that there are mitzvahs that have more of a free form, and eventually are given a more official form. Again, it's an interesting discussion more in the Achronim, what happens if I want to not follow that form? Do I have the right to, can I, Bizman Azeh, fulfill benching Daraisa without using Moshe's Matbea Shobrach? Right? Now, those would say, absolutely not, I cannot. That once it's been codified in a certain sense, it's locked in, which is a fascinating power that the Torah has given to our Chachamim. And again, we need to understand exactly how that process works.
Can you say the same thing about davening?
But let's go back to davening. Let's go back to Michael's example and this example of davening. And because again, this is not unique. This is definitely not unique to benching. Okay? Is davening a mitzvah da'araisa?
No.
Achlokas. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah to daven every day. The Ramban says there's only a mitzvah to daven be'ez sara. Rav Soloveitchik famously put the two together in a very philosophical way. And Rav Soloveitchik said, well, if you really understand that every day of life is really an Eis Sara, that life is an existential crisis, right? And life, you know, any Jew who's tapped into reality knows and lives with the Gemara's conclusion in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, where they debated for a long period of time, months and months, they debated, is it better to be born, better not to be born? Better to be born, better not to be born? What was the Gemara's conclusion? Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, better not to be born. Which means that's Chazal's way of acknowledging the fact that I exist is hard. So the Rav said, you know, the sort of the middle ground between the Rambam and the Ramban, right? Yes, I only need to daven, like the Ramban says, maybe the Torah seems to put tefillah in the context of Eis Sara, but the Rambam is revealing to us that every day is an Eis Sara, and therefore the obligation midaraisa is to daven every day. But let's work at the Rambam for a minute. Assuming that there's a mitzvah daraisa to daven every single day, how much do I have to daven every day? What do I have to daven every day? So the Rambam writes in the very first halacha, in Hilchos Tefillah, source number 6, mitzvah saseh l'spal b'chol yom. There's a mitzvah saseh to daven every day, and quotes a pasuk, v'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. Which part of that is davening? The Gemara says, based on the Gemara in Tanis Dav Beis, the Rambam brings it here, u'la'ovdo b'chol levavcha. Again, the pasuk says, v'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. What is this avoda? Pasuk elsewhere says, "La'avdo b'chol levavcha." Well, what's the avoda shebelev? Says the Gemara, the opening daf of Maseches Tanis, "Amru Chachamim Eizu Hi Avoda Shebelev Zot Tefila." Okay, so that's where the Rambam got this from. Again, how the Ramban reads that Gemara for another time. "Ve'ein minyanat tefila," says the Rambam, where it's bolded min haTorah. The number of times you daven a day, that's not biblically ordained. "Ve'ein mishnah tefila hazos min haTorah." And the very nature and the words, the way that you're going to daven, right? The expressions that you're going to use, that's also not found in the Torah. The Torah doesn't have Shmona Esrei in it. Ve'ein l'tefila zman kavua min haTorah. Okay, and tefila doesn't have a set time. I just have to daven every day. The Rambam says, I have to daven every day. How do you even know it's every day? Right?
What's maybe davening? It's,
and what is davening then? Okay, so how did our davening get to where it is today? So the Rambam, sometimes in the Mishnah Torah, will give us the history of certain things. Which again always leads the Achronim to wonder why in certain places the Rambam gives us, you know, kind of all the background, and in other places he doesn't. How did Shmona Esrei come to be? How did all of our brachos come to be? Let's assume again the Gemara's Kal Vachomer that I should make a bracha before I eat coleslaw. So how did it come to be that there's a kviyas on what the bracha on coleslaw is? Right? And let's say I want to make my own version of Hadamah. Okay, could I do that? Can I make an ala coleslaw? Right? And Mishnah Berurah Paskins, when you have different things, that one of the reasons that we make a bracha, the order of brachos is based on I make a bracha on things that are more specific first. So I want to do better than Chazal. They just want me to say Hadama. That's too generic. I want to say ala kosala. Much more specific. Mishnah Berurah would say it's a better bracha. Do I have a right to do such a thing? How did it come to be? So the Rambam writes a few halachos later in source number 7. The Rambam says, when Klal Yisrael were exiled, and Klal Yisrael were scattered, and we were living under foreign rule, and the Jewish people were picking up foreign languages, and the Jewish people were picking up foreign styles, and the Jewish people were picking up all sorts of foreign music, and all sorts of, you know, foreign things. We lost our ability to speak Hebrew, to speak Lashon HaKodesh, in a precise way. The average person couldn't make their own Shmona Esrei. Right? They couldn't get the diktuk right, they couldn't find the right expressions. And therefore, what happened, as time went on, it became too difficult for individuals to have the achrayas to write tefillah every morning. Even though that, you know, part of us feels like, oh, I wish I could make my own tefillahs, then it'd be so much more personal. Right? Okay. We can inject plenty of personality into our tefillahs if we wanted to. It's a poor excuse. Right? But once upon a time, there was, again, it was a much more free-flowing. So the Rambam says in the third line, V'kevin shira ezra beiz dino kach, omdu v'tiknu lem shmona esrei brachos al seder. When they saw, when they returned to Eretz Yisrael, and they saw, wow, the Jews had really lost a lot during Galus Bavel, they decided, you know what, we need to start giving people a sitter. And that's exactly what they did. U'mipnei'in yizeh, the Rambam says a little bit later, tiknu kol ha'brachos v'atfilos mesudaros b'fi kol Yisrael. All of our brachos were set up by the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah to give us guidance. K'dei she'inyin kol bracha aruch b'fi ha'ileg. That the brachos should be organized, it should be precise in the mouth of those who stammer, those who don't know how to speak precisely anymore. So again, here you have a mitzvah d'araisa, tefillah, which again is given some type of form later on. And that becomes the araisa in a certain sense of tefillah. That becomes the form of tefillah. I'll just give you one other example. Zachar es yom ha-shavis l'kacha. What does that pasuk tell us I need to do? Zachareyu. I have to mention Shabbos. What does that mean? Let's say I like learning the Sefer Siduro Shel Shabbos by Chaim Chernovitzer, because I feel that he can't really connect to Shabbos until you learn the Siduro Shel Shabbos, the deep Hasidic teachings of Chaim Chernovitzer. So if I sit down and I read a passage, is that the Darais fulfillment of Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadcha? Maybe. Well, what do I have to do? Zachrei, I have to mention it. In what context? How do I mention it? Again, so here you have a mitzvah Darais that doesn't really tell us how to do it. It requires some type of expression. That's why I'm using this example again, just like Birchas HaMazon and Tefillah. But exactly what I need to say is very unclear. So if you look at the Rambam in source number 9, the Rambam says, Midivrei Sofrim, the rabbis came along and they said that you need Lekadesh Alayayin and Lehabdil Alayayin. I mentioned Shabbos at the start. I mentioned Shabbos again on the way out. The rabbi said I should do it with a cup of wine in my hand. But not only that. The rabbis told me what I should say. Says the Hagos Maimonios in source number 10. Hagos Maimonios says, he quotes from the Baal HaTosfos, and he writes, the Kiddush mi da'araisa, it's clear that Kiddush is da'araisa, Zachar es yom ha-shabbos l'kacho, source number 10, Kiddush itself is da'araisa, ava mashi yitzrichu la'omra al hayayin, eino el midrabana. But that which I say, and the way in which I say, the fact that Chazal said, take a cup of wine in your hand, and recite our Kiddush, right, which is made up of 70 words, 35 words in the first part and 35 words in the second part, and it corresponds to the 70 nations of the world. And there's a lot there, right? But again, that midaraisa, you know, where did any of this come from, right? The fact that we say the kiddush that we say, the rabbis brought it, you know, brought this daraisa to life. Okay, so again, it leaves us with the question: so what do I have to do midaraisa to bench? How much of the benching do I need to say to fulfill my obligation. So let me give you a very simple way of testing this. Here's a simple way of testing. When someone's working for their boss, right, there's an understanding their boss also works for God. Let's assume it's a Jewish boss. So there's an understanding that the boss is going to allow his workers to be Jewish and to keep halacha. He's not going to ask them to do things that are against the halacha. That means that, you know, if the boss allows them to eat lunch, he has to give them the time to bench. He can't say, well, you can eat lunch, but I don't want you benching on my time. Right? He has to give them time to bench. That's a mitzvah, yes. But the rabbis were sensitive to the fact that it's an amazing lesson in just honesty, that when you're working for your boss, you're being paid to work for your boss, which means you can't steal time for other things. So the rabbi said, the things that we added, we're not going to ask you to do on your boss's time. The Araisa things, of course, you have to do. Your boss has to let you do those things. But when you're working for someone, the rabbi said, it's not fair for us to impose upon your boss, on his dollar, that you should be able to do certain rabbinic things. So the Gemara discusses this in Brachos Daf Tes Zayin. The Gemara says, Hapoelim shayu osim alacha, source number 11, Eitzel Balabais. You have workers. Okay, top of the second side of the page. You have workers who are working for a certain Balabais. Okay, so they're busy working for this fellow. Koren Kriya Shema. Let's say they get to work, right? Now it's time for Shema. Are they allowed to recite Shema on the job? Kriya Shema? Yeah, it's Daraisa. U'mispalalim. Can they daven? Now again, what does Ramban do with this Gemara? I'm not sure, not right now. Mispalalim. Ramam told us there's a mitzvah to daven every day, so they have to be able to daven. Something. V'ochlan pitan. They have to eat. Can't starve your workers. V'ein mevarchim lefaneha. They don't recite bracha rishona, because that's only derabanan. Aval mevarchim achareha. But they do say bracha achrona. They do bench. And how many brachos do they bench? Shtayim. They say two brachos. Ketzad, how do you do it? What do you say? Bracha rishona ketikuna. You say the first bracha, Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha, you say it as regular. Shnia posech bebirchas ha'aretz v'kolan bonei yishlayim bebirchas ha'aretz. But then you say a second bracha, which is a combination of nodalacha, bialakol, and rachim. You put it all together, bnei yishlayim. You put what we would consider the bracha of Yeshua and the bracha created by David and Shlomo. You lump those two together. So let's think about this for a second. If benching is daraisa, we have to again figure out which part of benching is daraisa. Let's assume for a moment, and this is a correct halachic assumption, that the first three brachos, we call them daraisa, and the bracha tova meitim, which was for the harugei beitar, is much later. That was a response to a much later tzara. Right? But I could show you that v'achalta v'sevata uveirachta ala aretz, right? Within that pasuk already I see hints that I have to thank Hashem for the food, I have to thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, and I can even say I have to thank Hashem for Yerushalayim specifically. So therefore we assume the first three brachos are d'araisa, and the fourth bracha is d'rabbanan. So now I'm working for my boss, and we're having this sensitivity, I'm only going to do d'araisa things. So Tosis is bothered by the question, what's going on here? If I'm allowed to do d'araisa things, then I should be allowed to do the first three brachos. What do I gain? Why do I have to create this weird combination bracha of Ala Aretz and Bonei Yerushalayim, put the two together? Again, the poskim saying most of this doesn't apply b'chlal b'zman hazeh, because normal people have a lunch break. And your lunch break is X amount of time, right? And therefore it's your obligation to figure out that I don't eat the entire time and leave no time for benching and then rely on this Gemara. I have to cheshbon out. If it takes me 3 whole minutes to bench, right? And I have a half hour lunch break, so 27 minutes to be eating and 3 minutes to be benching. Right? I don't have to rely on this b'chlal. Right? But if it was more precise, if there was no set time where I could take a break for, you know, like many employees have today, where I have a break time, right, to use as I see fit. But again, using the Gemara's example, so the Baal Bayis is allowing me to bench, or allow me to do the Araisa thing, so why am I creating this combination bracha? Why can't I just do the regular Araisa? So Tosa says something very, very interesting, maybe a little strange, and hard to understand. The Baal Yitosa was saying in source number 12, Afal gav de midaraisa. What's Tosa's question? The Baal Yitosa want to understand, why am I not saying all three brachos? Why am I not doing a regular benching daraisa? Right? Again, the nusach we understand wasn't found in the Torah. But we're going to assume that the first three brachos are the response of Achalta v'Zavata v'Rachta Hashem Elokecha. Again, Moshe gave us part of the text, and Yeshua gave us part of the text, and David and Shlomo gave us part of the text. But that's all the response to the pasuk. What happened in Yavne was totally different. So what, if I'm allowed to do by my boss things which are biblically commanded, so why am I making this combination bracha? So Tosfos says, Afogav de midoraisa heim, even though the three brachos are deraisa, yesh koch bi'al chachamim lakor davar min haTorah, ho v'trud moleches balabais. The sages have the right to uproot something passively, right? Not directly, meaning Chazal can't say don't bench at all. But in a certain way, they have a certain koch to uproot the Torah. So the rabbis are uprooting benching a little bit because you're so busy working for your boss and you're such an honest worker. So they decided to combine those last two brachos. So we say back to the Torah, so hold on a second. The rabbis are so concerned about you being so honest with your boss and they have the power to passively tell you you don't have to do something. Right? The rabbis can't tell you to do averus, but they can tell you don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. They're passively telling you not to do something you're supposed to do. So if the rabbis feel that they have the right to passively tell you not to bench, so why don't they uproot benching completely? So Tosfos says, this must be a thing. No, we would never go that far. But we would combine these last two. Now what emerges, the real chiddush in Tosfos, is that when you say two brachos instead of three brachos, even if you hit all the themes, that's called uprooting benching daraisa. So what does Tosfos hold benching daraisa is? It's three themes and three brachos. According to Tosfos, the inference in this Tosfos is that benching is three themes, the food, the land, and Yerushalayim, and it has to be spread out over three brachos. So therefore Tosfos says the rabbis are uprooting, again, a partial uprooting of the mitzvah by pushing it down to two brachos. Okay? Rashi seems to also be responding to Tosfos's question. Meaning, Rashi writes, if you look at Rashi in source 13, let's see the Kesef Mishnah first. The Kesef Mishnah says that Tosfos is saying a big chiddush that you don't have to say. Who says that the three brachos are daraisa? The three themes are daraisa. And therefore, in this case, where I have a sensitivity to my boss, I can combine certain themes. Now, why not make just one bracha and combine all the themes? So Rashi gives us the answer to that question. Rashi in source 14 says it makes sense to combine Birchas Haaretz and Bonei Yerushalayim because they're domos, because the themes are related. Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim is a theme. To throw in the fact that I ate is not necessarily a theme per se connected to that. But Rashi is also really responding to this question, which is, right, what's happening here in terms of the benching? Rashi says, you know, you're still benching Daraisa. Your benching is still Daraisa. We'll give you a slightly shortened version, which doesn't really lose anything on a Daraisa level, because you're still hitting all three themes, and we're doing it with a sensitivity to your boss. The Chiddush of Tosfos says you need three brachos, and doing less than three brachos is uprooting the mitzvah Daraisa. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says in source 13. He quotes our Tosfos, I edited it out for you, but then he says, "Ve'ein sarach lezeh, she'ein minyan habrachos she'achra mazal min haTorah." The Kesef Mishnah says, and he brings, again, I gave you a small piece of the Kesef Mishnah, but he brings a proof from the Ramban, and he brings a proof from the Rambam, that the themes of benching are daraisa. How many brachos they're spread over, the fact that Moshe set up one bracha, and Yeshua set up another bracha, right? That's not necessary to fulfill the mitzvah daraisa. So again, we see a machlokas rishonim, to fulfill the mitzvah daraisa, do I need to hit three themes, or do I need to hit three themes in the context of three brachos? According to Tosfos, I need the three themes and three separate brachos in order to properly thank Hashem for each of those things. According to Rashi, the implication of Rashi, clearly the response to the Kesef Mishnah, and the Rashi I'll show you in 1 second, is that no, as long as you hit the themes, it doesn't matter if they're under normal circumstances, it would be very nice to do them in three brachos. But when I'm being sensitive to my boss and his time and the money that he's paying me, so in such a situation, we ask you to abridge it slightly by combining the two brachos that have a common theme. Let's just read the Rashba, and then I'll take the comments. Okay, this really concludes this point of this year. But the Rashba, again, addresses this as well. The Rashba, Adap Mem Vav and Aleph, says the following. The Rashba says, Teda da tova meitav lav daraisa. When I was, let's go back to our Gemara and Brachos Tes Zayin again. When I'm working for my employer, Hatova meitav totally disappeared. Right, that bracha totally disappeared. So the Rashba says in Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, yes, Hatova Meitav is definitely not daraisa. Shrei Poelim Okrim Osa, Because when I'm working for my boss, the workers completely uproot that bracha. That bracha disappears completely. Va'af al gav de bonei Yerushalayim da araisa, says the Rashba, even though bonei Yerushalayim is also a de araisa, va'afilu hachilam mevarchila pa'alim, and the workers are not saying its own bracha of bonei Yerushalayim, combine those two brachos, lav hainu akira. Here it's different than Tosfos. Rashba says, that's not called uprooting. Tosfos said, that is called uprooting. When you do anything less than three brachos, you've uprooted the daraisa. The rabbis uprooted benching when you're working for your boss, the same way they uprooted shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Right? What's another example? What else did they do? What else the rabbis uprooted? They uprooted lulav. Right? Tosfos calls that uprooting, akira, uprooting. The Rashba says, that's not an akira, that's not uprooting. It's not lost. The theme is not lost. It's combined with another bracha. Avatova meita, which is completely uprooted, must be only derabanan. Okay, so again, this basic machlokas rishonim are the three themes of benching what the Torah demands of us, or is three themes spread over three brachos what the Torah demands of us? And again, we saw that how those three brachos are going to be codified and written over time, emerged over time. Okay.
So it sounds to me like Tosfos is saying that if you have a Doraisa theme and then you give it a matbea, the whole matbea becomes Doraisa. And that's why he's not happy with being open.
And once it's locked
even though
in,
you're gonna, even though you're still going to say both themes, but because you're uprooting one of the two verses.
Right. So that might again, that's a good point. And it might go back to the question that the Achronim deal with, the Prima Gadim, the Psicha Kolelis talks about this, whether or not, can I say I want to do it my own way still today? Meaning, I appreciate what the Rambam wrote in Hilchos Tefillah, that there were Jews who didn't speak Hebrew very well, and they didn't have the means of expressing themselves properly, but I do. Right? So according to what you're saying, then no, once it's locked in, it's really locked in. And Bizman is that you wouldn't have the right to daven your own Shemoneh Esrei, right? And if you had the chutzpah to do it, we would say to you, you didn't even fulfill the Daraisa. You didn't even do what the Torah asked you to daven today. What do you mean? The Shemoneh Esrei was created so much later. Yeah, but once it's established, it's established. Again, we're touching on a lot of questions about how halacha is formulated, but yeah, that's what it sounds like from, you can maybe say that in Tosfos. Yeah?
Yeah, how are we supposed to deal with the concept that you can't uproot a comment that was previously?
Alright, so again, we have an ability, uprooting here is always b'shev al-tasa, right? But we're asking you to refrain from saying you don't have to do something. That's not uprooting legamri. Right? The same way the Torah says blow shofar, and I say, the rabbis say, no, we're not gonna blow on Shabbos. Take a lulav on the first day. Well, not if it's Shabbos. That's a big deal. What do you mean you're uprooting a mitzvah? So again, yesh koch b'yad chachamim, lak or davar b'shev al-tasa. You can uproot something even from the Torah. But again, that's not, when we have a rule that you can't uproot something that a previous is based in, that means to uproot it legamri, to cancel a decree that was ruled upon by a bigger and better based in. Yes?
Don't we have a rule that we don't mix themes together in brachos?
Maybe.
Like isn't there like a question like how are you able to mix like Mekadosh HaShabbos with Yisrael?
Right. Right, so we usually have to try. So I think that's part of what Rashi's also dealing with. Meaning, when we don't mix themes when they're different themes. Right here, Rashi's saying, we're weighing different values. I have a boss who's very demanding, and a Torah that's very sensitive to giving my boss, all of my kochos. Right? I have a sensitivity maybe not to mix and match different themes, which again is why Chazal didn't say in that Gemara in Brachos Tezayin, let's make one big bracha. They said, these two, Rashi says, at least are domos. They have something in common, so that allows us to do it. But again, we have to figure out when are we allowed to combine.
It's almost like a bit like they're creating the b'diavad, like lechachila, that when you're in this b'diavad, then you can
Put them together. Right, right. Yeah.
Isn't there a stipulation, though? I don't think we do it general today. During Shas HaDecha to have that contracted Shmoneh Esrei,
right? Yomar talks about situations where you could daven in a bridge Shmoneh Esrei, right? Yeah. So again, is that part of the original? Was it always set up that way? Is that that response to something? And there's different forms of a bridge Shmoneh Esrei. There's a way of shortening each of the brachos, and then there's a way of shortening the entire thing into one paragraph. But maybe again, that's still maybe a fulfillment of the daraisa of daven something. So, again, it's beyond the scope of my knowledge to answer the question fully, but...
Right. The other question is the worker is being paid... The workers are being paid for their
time. So the Gemara has a whole discussion again. Are they day workers? Are they paid for the job? Are they paid for the time?
Right.
And the Gemara does present different ways that things would shift. That's why I just gave you this one, the one case where they work for their boss and they're not really given any time off other than what's absolutely necessary. Okay, the Gemara talks about different types of workers and how the pay is arranged. Okay, let's just add one more piece, and then we'll end on just a couple of hashkafic and machshava notes. Is there anything else that might be da'araisa that we put into our bench, and besides these three themes of the mazon and the aretz and Yerushalayim? Right, is there something else that might be thematically necessary in the benching?
What we say before benching? Like Al-Nos,
No.
Zimun.
Okay, Zimun's an interesting question. I'm talking about within the nusach of the benching. Any phrases, key words that are critical to the benching. So let's use the following again test case. Are women obligated in benching? Yes, it's a Mishnah in Brachos. Mishnah in Brachos in the third parak. Mishnah Gimel. Nashim v'avadim b'ketanim peturim mikriyashma minatfilin v'chayavim b'tfila mezuzah birchas hamazon. Women are obligated to bench. Why are women obligated to bench? Well, why not? Of course they should be, right? Is it a mitzvah sasesha azman grama? Is it a time-bound mitzvah? It's not. So there's no reason to assume a woman shouldn't bench. And yet, the Gemara has a discussion on Daf Chaf, Maseches Brachos, is benching for a woman d'arais or d'rabanan? Why would benching not... Why would a woman's benching only be d'rabanan? Because a woman has a problem. When a woman comes to bench, she finds certain themes... That just don't relate to her. She can't relate to them. What are some of the themes that a woman might find in benching that she finds difficult to relate to?
Working.
It's a good thing the tape recorder is far away. I have to edit that. Right? So land, right? So we're thanking Hashem for the land. What land? What land, right? The Nachla goes from father to son. Right. Rashi picks up on this in Source 17 in Brachos Daf Chaf, when the Gemara raises the question: is benching for women daraisa or derabanan? Rashi says, why would it be derabanan? Rashi says in Source 17, "Dichsiv ala aretz atov asher nasan lach va'achalta v'savata ve'rachta es Hashem elokecha ala aretz atov asher nasan lach." Thank Hashem for the land He's given you. He hasn't given you. The land was not given to women to be divided. You're going to say b'nos slavchad. So Rashi says, "Imishum b'nos slavchad, chelik aviyam heim denatu." They took their father's portion, but women don't have that same connection in terms of thanking Hashem for the land that they have been given, because they haven't been given in terms of halachic ownership over the land. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's explanation. He doesn't think that's the missing piece possibly for women. Again, the Gemara is trying to figure out: is benching for a woman d'arais or d'rabbanan? Why might it be derabanan? Rashi says because they can't say benching. The land isn't given to women. Tosfos says if that's true, can a kohen or a levi bench? They also have a weird arrangement in terms of owning land. So if I'm having lunch with a kohen, can the kohen not? Let's say I don't know how to bench. Can I have the kohen bench and have me in mind? Well, not if he's derabanan, I'm deraisa. So I don't think it's the land. Tosfos says I don't think it's the land piece. Tosfos says, you know what it is? It's bris and it's Torah. Al brischa shechasantu v'sarino, al torasla shlima detano. Women, says Tosfos, are exempt from Torah and bris. Says Tosfos in Source 18. He quotes Rashi. He raises the question where it's bolded. V'teima kohanim v'leviyim nami tiboy. You'd ask the same question in theory about kohanim and leviyim. Why? Shavei lo nitlu chelek ba'aretz. Lo nitlu chelek ba'aretz. According to you, Rashi, could a Kohen or a Levi not bench for Yisrael? So therefore, says Tosfos, Eliyesh lomer the time mishum dechsev al brischa shechasantu v'sareinu v'al torasa shlima detanu. V'nashim lesnu lo bebris v'lo betorah. What does it mean a woman is not bebris? Well, obviously she doesn't have a bris. Is a woman obligated to give a bris? Right? Is a woman obligated to give a bris? A woman's not obligated to give a bris. Kashar tziva oso elokim, oso v'lo oso, the Gemara says. What about Torah? Do women have an obligation to study Torah? Women are exempted from Talmud Torah, we usually assume, right? Teach it to your sons, not your daughters. Although, it's also not so simple. Because a woman certainly has to learn the halachos that apply to her. Now, when a woman learns the halachos that apply to her, is that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or is that something else? So that's a machlokas. The Shagas Aryeh says that when a woman learns the Torah that is relevant to her, she doesn't have a mitzvah to learn about a bensor or morin. Right? A woman doesn't have a mitzvah to learn Torah just for the sake of learning Torah. But the Shagas Aryeh says those aspects of Torah that apply to a woman, she has a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to learn. The Beis HaLevi disagrees. The Beis HaLevi famously argues and says, no, when a woman learns Torah, it's begeder hechsher mitzvah. So she has a mitzvah called Shabbos. A woman is obligated on Shabbos. When she learns how to keep Shabbos, that's not the mitzvah of learning Torah. That's part of her mitzvah of Shabbos. Okay? So again, this discussion and this assumption of Tosfos that bris and Torah would disqualify a woman is something very interesting, something to think about. Whether or not those themes are absolutely, again, necessary for the nusach of Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara seems to say that anyone who doesn't say bris and anyone who doesn't mention Torah has not fulfilled their obligation, the Gemara says. So does that mean if I accidentally skip those words, I have to bench again? So again, presumably not, right? If you look in the second to last source, the Chedushei Ra'ah, the Ra'ah says the following. The Ra'ah says, "Umistabra, the Ma'ida Amrina Lekaman, the Chol Shelo Amar Bebirkas Amazon, Bris V'Torah, V'Chaim U'Malchus Beis David Lo Yatzi Dechavasa." When the Gemara says certain themes that are left out would cause you to not fulfill your obligation. It means you haven't fulfilled your obligation in the optimal fashion. You're not going to bench again if you skip over bris. You're not going to bench again, says the Ra'ah, if you skip over Torah. Which again, would lead us to back to the question, so again, if it's not ma'akiv, if it's not intrinsic, so why would that prevent the woman from possibly benching? But again, it's all part of this broader discussion. When the Torah says three magical words, v'chalta, v'savata, v'rachta, we need to figure out what is the nature, what does the Torah want us to do, how did that mitzvah evolve over time, what phrases or themes or the number of brachos is absolutely mandatory, and what can we get away with. And again, hopefully all of this just makes us want to bench a lot better. So I want to conclude with one piece from Rav Tzadok, and I want to give out a little gift to everyone. It's just a piece of paper. Most people don't take the Maor Makom sheets at the end of the night, which is perfectly fine. There's no obligation to chazer over the shir. I'm sure, first of all, you've recorded it aluach libecha, and you remember it very well, all the details. So there's no reason to hold on to it. But I want to give you a piece of paper that I would like you to at least take home. If you want to get rid of it tomorrow, you can get rid of it tomorrow. But don't give us a piece of paper to mechazek us to bench better. Okay? But first a word from Rav Tzadok Kohen of Lublin. Rav Tzadok writes in Sidkas Tzadik. You have to understand, like we started, benching is the bracha that is the araisa. But really, all brachos are an amazing opportunity. And in a certain sense, when you make a bracha, you're fulfilling the essence of Torah. Because the essence of Torah can be encapsulated in those two phrases that we heard from Hashem. Anochi, Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yi'alecha Elohim Acherim. Anochi and Lo Yi'alecha. Anochi, I am Hashem, your God, is mitzvah saseh. All the positive things in our relationship with Hashem. Lo Yi'alecha, don't have other gods, and all the negative in our relationship with Hashem. What are brachos? One of the greatest dangers that a Jew faces every second of his life is forgetting about Hashem. A bracha is a lashon of mavriach. Mavriach means to graft, to attach something to something else. A bracha gives us attachment to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore every bracha that I make, not only benching, but every time I make a bracha, it's an opportunity to remind myself just how much a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in my life. Let's just read this final source. It says Rav Tzadok, Kol inyanei ha'olam v'chol hanivra maskirim la'adam sheyesh borei. Everything we engage, we encounter, we interact with in the world is supposed to remind us that there's a creator. Kamo she'amar, as the Gemara says, it's Shimon ben Azai's statement, Kol ha'olam kulo l'nivra ela b'shvil zeh. The whole world was created for this. For what? The Gemara is referring to a person who's a God-fearing individual. If you're a Yarei Shemaim, if you live with God awareness, then everything in the world is created for you. Says Rav Tzadok, you know what that means? It means that a God-fearing person understands that when he drinks a cold glass of Fresca, it's an opportunity not just to cool his body down or to enjoy a cold drink, right, but it's an opportunity to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To remind myself that, wow, Hashem, you sustain me. And when I say Baruch Atah Hashem, as I'm drinking that Fresca, I'm maintaining that connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So everything in the world is really reminding the God-fearing person of the Creator. A person who's not God-fearing, then Hashem says, well, I didn't need to make fresco. I made fresco so that a person could have a connection to me. I made chicken so that people could have a connection to me. Right? I made everything. I made the stars in the sky so you could have a connection to me. But if you're not going to pay attention to it, if you're not going to connect me to that, then I don't need to make my world filled with all these wonderful things. So that's what the Gemara means, kol ha'olam kulo niver el bishvil zeh. That the world and everything within it is created for the God-fearing individual who is able to look at the world and say, wow, I see Hashem in everything. Perish. Sheyida zeh al yadav yakir sheish bor olam. That through looking at this thing and connecting to this thing, he sees Hashem. And he quotes a beautiful teaching. He says, Shamati, I've heard, which usually means I heard it from my Rebbe, the Ishbitzer Rebbe. But it's already brought earlier, it's brought already from the Maggid of Mezrich, the second leader of Hasidus. That when the Pasuk says, Mala ha'aretz kinyanecha, Mala aretz kinyanecha, what is the Pasuk Pshat? The world is filled with your creations, right? With the things that you have brought into existence. The Mezrich or Maggid explained, and the Rav Tzadik explains here, Mala aretz kinyanecha, the world is filled, it's a beautiful vart. I remember actually, I was Shana Aleph, my year in Israel. I went into a Sfarim store, and I was just, really had no connection to Sefer Chassidus at all. I picked up a Sefer from the Slonim Rebbe. Not the more famous Slonim Rebbe, the Nesiva Shalom, but the Divrei Shmuel of Slonim. And I opened it up, and I saw this Svar from the Maggid of Mezrich, and I bought the Sefer. I love this Svar. Mala Aretz Kinyanecha, the world is filled with things, Kinyanecha, to be Kona Hashem, to acquire God. The world is filled with ways to acquire God. We sometimes think Hashem is only found in shul, Hashem is found in a base medrash, Hashem is found in spiritual arenas, right? But Hashem is not found in the street. Mala aretz kinyanecha, the whole world is filled with ways of kinyanecha, to be kona, to acquire God, to take Hashem home with you. In everything that you bought in the store, Hashem is found within it. Mala aretz kinyanecha, perish liknos al yadam oscha, to acquire Hashem through it. V'Hashem yizbarach, mazmin la'adam b'chol yom, dvarim v'inyanim shonim. Hashem sends you all sorts of things throughout the day, hoping that you'll be able to remember Him, to acquire Him. Says Rav Tzadok, when a Jew says a bracha, that is a fulfillment of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And that's the first thing we ever heard from God. That's the essence of Torah. So every bracha, in a certain sense, is really capturing, a Jew who's tuned into what he's saying, is really connecting to the essence of Torah, which is what? Zechira, remembering Hashem. Being connected to a Kadosh Bracha. Hours later, Rav Tzadok goes on, it's a beautiful passage, but he says, really, this is the essence, that's why the Shas starts with Mesechas Brachos. The entrance into Torah is through brachos. Connection to Hashem is forged through brachos. So again, al achas kam v'kama, our ultimate bracha, birchas hamazon. How carefully we have to try to bench, to take all 3 minutes with a bencher to look inside. Rav Shach was makabel upon himself, a small kabbalah that he took very seriously, which was to bench out of a bencher. It's not such an easy kabbalah. Try doing one bracha out of a bencher, right? And always to look inside with a bencher. Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, Rav Shach says, Rav Chaim Ozer, who knew Torah inside and out. He knew the words of benching Baal Peh. He wasn't going to mess up. But he always benched with a bencher. Which is an amazing thing. I heard from Rav Shechter, Rav Soloveitchik, when he would meet with Rav Chaim Ozer, and he would share with him his Chidushei Torah, whenever the Rav thought he had a big Chiddush, he would say to Rav Chaim Ozer, oh, I share an idea. And Rav Chaim Ozer would get up out of his seat, he would go over to his farm shelf, and he would pull off some random saber and say, oh yeah, that idea's right here. So Chaim Ozer, Rav Soloveitchik used to say to the Talmidim how frustrating it was to talk to Rav Chaim Ozer, because everything, every chiddush I had, it wasn't a chiddush, someone else had already said it. And Chaim Ozer knew exactly where it was. And yes, says Rav Shach, he would bench with the bencher. Because he understood. He understood that each of these words is precious. It's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the deepest way. It's an amazing thing. So I want to give this out to everyone. A little piece from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, with this we'll conclude. Rav Pinkus, in his Sefer on Emunah, okay, what are you going to do with this piece of paper? I don't know. You could put it in your bencher box at home if you have a bencher box next to your table. You can hang it up on the wall in your kitchen. I don't know what you want to do with it. I want to be mechazik, since we spoke so much and we picked on Hatova Ametiv tonight and we called it only Durabanan. I want to be mechazik Hatova Ametiv with this piece from Rav Pinkus. Rav Pinkus says that the Chafetz Chaim was standing next to a Jew one time and the Jew was benching and he heard him say, "Hu heitiv hu meitiv le'olam ayichasreinu." So the Chafetz Chaim turned to him, the Chafetz Chaim said to him, Amar lo Chafetz Chaim, Ha'im ata yodea shebikashta ke'is 15 dvarim? Do you realize you just asked for 15 things? He said, well, what? You just asked God for 15 things. How would you like it if someone talked to you like that? 15, like, imagine, you really, 15 things that you like really need, and you just mumble through it? So the fellow said, what are you talking about? Chavetz Chaim said, let's go through it. You just ask for chen. You ask that people should like you, that people don't look at you in a bad way. That's a big deal, that people should see you in a nice way. Then you ask for chesed. And then you ask for rachamim. And then you ask for revach. Shielo makum berevach. Right? They should have a life of you should have expansiveness in your life. You shouldn't live your life bein amitzar, I'm trapped. Right? Then you ask for hatzalah. How many times do your kids walk outside, cross the street on a daily basis? How many things can go wrong, spiritually and physically, in the street? God forbid. Right? Hatzalah. You need salvation on a daily basis. You just ask for hatzalah. You ask for hatzlacha. They should have hatzlacha in your learning. You should remember the daf gemara that you learned that day in daf yomi. You ask for bracha. You ask for Yeshua. You ask for nechama. That's number 9. Parnasa, 10. Kalkala, number 11. After you ask for parnasa, it's dangerous. After you ask for parnasa, a person has parnasa, you know, he can become bal gaiva. Hashem doesn't like bal gaiva, so you have to ask for rachim again. So that's why you ask for rachim the second time. Yes, again, number 12, rachim. Yes, for chayim shalom. And if that's not enough, you ask for the all encompassing. Give me everything good. So the Chavetz Chaim said, how would you like it if your child came over, you asked for 15 really expensive things and didn't even ask like a mensch? So says Rav Pinkus in the last three lines. Aleinu lihisragel lidaber al Hashem b'tzura ruuya shel iskashrus. We need to learn to talk to Hashem, not to mumble at Hashem, but to connect to Hashem. That's what a bracha is. It's mavriach. It attaches. It grafts us to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zo eino gadlus. This is not only for gedolim. It's not for Breslov or Chassidim doing his avodas in a forest. It's for a Jew sitting at his desk at work, having just finished his sandwich, having a real bakasha, a conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. More valuable, says the Magid of Mezrich, than Shemona Esrei, which is only Derabanan. If a person wants, he can develop this language of talking to Hashem, of communicating with Hashem, of connecting with Hashem. And a person who wants to do this is able to do so. So I want to give us a bracha. Give us a bracha that we should be zochet to take this mitzvah seriously. Again, it's an easy mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that we're used to. We've been singing it to the tune that's sung around the world. Very interesting. It's the same tune that's used in the most right-wing yeshivas. And all Jewish children sing the same tune for benching. I don't know what the origin is, but that's the minhag, the Klal Yisrael. You go into Chassidus yeshiva in Bnei Brak. They use the same tune. They'll find in any other yeshiva. So I want to give us a bracha, we should be zochet to bench in the way that it's a conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that it's meant to be done. Okay, can I just tell you one gematria? Because Hashem gave me one gematria today, and I'm very excited about it. And this is really the last. Just one gematria. The Gemara on Memches. Yeah, what source was it? Source number 5. What are the names of the 4 brachas? The Gemara referred to them as Birchas Hazan, then it called the second bracha Birchas Haaretz, the third bracha is called Boni Yerushalayim, and the fourth bracha is called Hatova HaMetiv. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So I added them up today, I was just curious. What's the gematria of Birchas Hazan plus Birchas Haaretz, Boni Yerushalayim plus Hatova HaMetiv? 2,355.
No.
2,355. You know what that's the gematria of? V'achalta v'savatu v'rachta.
Whoa.
We should be zocher. We should take each of the 4 brachas, the Reis and the Rabban. We should take them all seriously. Connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, shkoyach. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Sorry for going a little long, Maariv. Starts now.